Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes?
Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back, folks, for our continuing coverage of the winter storm, historic snow in New Orleans, and we've been talking about that. We are joined by Nika Scott, Entergy New Orleans Vice President of Customer Service. Nika, welcome to the show.
Hi, Noel. Good morning.
Well, I usually talk to you with some kind of crazy event, and here we are again. Dealing with snow.
Yeah, here we are. We're used to hurricanes, but snow is a little different for us, right?
It is a little different. And I guess a lot of questions of what challenges does a snowstorm like this present to the electrical infrastructure of our great city?
So, look, it is a little different than hurricanes, a little bit harder to predict damages and restoration times because, icy roads does a lot or prevents us from being able to sometimes respond as quickly as possible. But our team is prepared. We have, run out all of our critical feeders, inspected our equipment to make sure we weren't going to have any issues once the storm got here. Now that it's here, we are still responding to outages as safely as possible. It looks like we have maybe about 120 scattered outages across the city. So that's not too bad. And we're prepared to get power back on as quickly and safely as possible once the system rolls through.
I know one of the exercises y'all go through is to visually inspect power lines to see if there's any ice collection on those. What are you seeing?
I have not heard anything yet from our operations team. We don't expect this to be a big ice event, which is very fortunate because, ice and power lines don't mix. We really are just seeing snow, which doesn't stick to our lines. I think what we are going to be focusing on as we go through this event is really, what we're concerned about is ice and tree or snowfall on trees. It causes them to sag and those may hit our lines. So far though, like I said, just about 120 scattered outages. We will continue to monitor. Now, everybody, we expect this weather to be through, late this afternoon, early evening. But we'll continue to monitor for at least 24 hours because the snow's through doesn't mean our system isn't going to be impacted because you'll still have snow on trees, touching branches, and then you have these cold load impacts that sometimes make it a little longer to get power restored.
Not to mention the wind, right, Nika? I mean, I don't know what it's blowing at now, but the snow downtown, and I'm sure you're seeing the same thing, is sideways.
Yeah, we did hear some 25-mile-an-hour gusts. I believe we're anticipating up to 30. Once we get up to 30, we can't send our teams out. Anything over 30 miles an hour, we can't put a bucket truck up if we need to. Wind will certainly be a factor. Hopefully it'll die down quickly so that we can get back to restoration.
Now, they're expecting tomorrow that we're not going to get above freezing temperatures for a period of time any longer than 4 hours. So obviously road conditions will continue to be a challenge for everyone tomorrow, right?
You're absolutely right, and it's something that we take very seriously. We've told our team if you, you know, you may normally be going 30 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour to get to a site to make repairs. Absolutely take your time. We don't want any accidents. And we, you know, we're also encouraging our customers. I know it's difficult to do once the snow passes, but please stay off the road. Vehicles, vehicle impacts to our equipment can absolutely cause damage and outages that are unnecessary. We saw that a couple of weeks ago. We had two cars hit poles like in a matter of a couple of days, you know, and it took power out. So if you can, stay home.
No, absolutely. Any other special preparations that y'all have had to make? I mean, it's not often that we're even contemplating snow. I'm sure you guys communicated with other service providers that do this every season. Anything else out there that was unique to the preparation for this event?
You know, I don't think so. You know, our operations teams, they prepare for everything, even though it is an anomaly. You know, Texas had a pretty bad snowstorm a couple of years ago. I know our ops team talked to our Texas team about that. I look, every day I just am in awe of those crew members who are out in the field doing this work. You know, we've reminded them, you know, you think you're cold, right? But you're still perspiring. Make sure you're wearing, you know, the appropriate clothing, because you are, you know, we don't want hypothermia. We don't want dehydration. So they really do keep that front of mind. And, you know, we don't have a successful restoration unless it's a safe one. So that's something that we really do focus on at Entergy.
Any particular precautions that need to be taken by homeowners that may be tripping circuit breakers? You know, a lot of folks, we've already had a fire yesterday in Jefferson Parish, space heater utilizing an extension cord, combustible materials close to the space heater. A lot of times, though, in many cases, these electric heaters will trip circuit breakers. Any special advice along those lines?
Yeah, so if you do lose power and we do have a wider spread outages than anticipated, you know, I would turn off all my appliances, because that way when we do bring the power back up, make sure your lights are off, you know, everything you can shut down. It just makes us bringing the load back up a little bit easier. So, yeah, if you experience an outage, turn off all of your turn off any equipment that you had on prior to the outage. That would be helpful to us.
Because a lot of times there's a surge, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we know that sometimes some of these appliances don't handle that situation very well.
I had it happen at my house just last week when it was so cold. I had a space heater on and it tripped my breaker. So, yeah.
Final thoughts.
Look, I do want to just give you a little bit of information about estimated restoration time. It's a little harder to make that determination as quickly as we normally do on a warm day. And we are posting this information on our outage map. If you do have an outage, we anticipate once the storm passes through, we'll be able to send crews out to do damage inspections. It'll take a little bit longer, but we will have, if you have an outage, we anticipate having your estimated restoration time up on our outage map by 10 p.m. Not necessarily mean your power will be back on by 10 p.m., but you'll at least have an estimate as to when you can expect it to be restored. We're putting that out by text and robocalls to customers, and NOLA Ready is also sharing our text as well.
Awesome information. We appreciate that. Stay safe, stay warm, and look forward to seeing you again outside of an event.
Thank you, Noel. Same to you.
Thank you. That's Nika Scott, Entergy New Orleans VP of Customer Service. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'd love to hear from you. What are you seeing? What are you experiencing? Any challenges out there? We'll be right back. Stay with us.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Just looking at a bunch of the cameras around the city of New Orleans, the interstate system and otherwise, and it seems as though folks continue to heed the advice of officials saying stay home. Do whatever at home. Cynthia Lee Shang suggested clean out your closets. And she didn't like it when I asked her to repeat that for the benefit of my wife, who's not listening, I'm certain. But that's okay. You know, it's just a good time to get out there with the kids. We're seeing a lot of scenes of folks kind of enjoying it on their front lawns, and that's good as well. Just stay off the road as much as possible because it is a challenge out there. If you're not used to driving in these conditions, it can be a little tricky. But as we look around, we're seeing more and more folks, you know, that the streets are still, for the most part, empty, which is a good thing. But we are seeing in some locations, I was watching some of the stations, ice that's starting to form on the streets. People are kind of walking around in the warehouse district through the French Quarter and otherwise taking in some of the scenes out there. Like in Jackson Square, never ever seeing snow, you know, out there. And a lot, it's amazing, a lot of kids who have never seen snow in their entire life. So this is a life experience for many folks. And so take advantage of it. But remember, always think about how to do things safely. You don't want to be crossing major streets or otherwise. Folks, you know, you got folks out there that have never been in snow. They don't know how to drive in snow. So just be aware of that as well. We're going to visit with Colin Arnold here shortly. And in a 12 o'clock hour, we'll visit with Craig Jacquemin from Craig's Electrical and Generator Service and Gassan Corbin. We'll get the water update. And in the 1 o'clock hour, Hans Gonthier, Field Operations Chief for the NOPD, and Jacques Thibodeau from the director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, otherwise known as GOSEP. The predictions are is that we will continue to have snow through about 5 or 6 o'clock. I was just looking at radar, and that looks to be pretty consistent with what they're saying by what we see on radar headed this way. Some of the icy conditions are a little bit south of us, not as much snow as we are experiencing here. It seems to have lightened up a little bit downtown, not really an appreciable amount. still going sideways with that 20-plus mile-an-hour wind that's out there. In some areas, they're clocking 25, 26 mile-an-hour winds. So that continues to be a little bit of a challenge out there as well. When I was driving in this morning, it was you could feel the wind on the car kind of pushing it one way or the other, depending on how it was hitting your car. But it's strong enough to make a difference. And something else to be mindful of, if you have to absolutely get out there on the highway, is the wind as well. And my suggestion is travel, if you have to travel, travel areas that you are familiar with. And before you get on the road, think about overpasses that, for the most part, are closed. And the best course to take is a path that you don't have to cross over an overpass. And you want to minimize that so that you can get to where you're headed safely and not having the challenge of an overpass that's not been treated with sand and or salt or otherwise. They tend to ice up first, and that's why the causeway's closed, is they are now experiencing ice conditions on the causeway. For larger stretches than Carlton Dufresneau, who's been around there for quite a long period of time, where they're experiencing that on the causeway now, longer stretches than he's ever seen before in his tenure. So that's kind of interesting as well. So that there are a lot of conditions unique to this storm.
Well, no, we talked about like overpasses and high rises and bridges. What about tunnels? Because if I were to have to go home, I had to go to Marrero, and I either have to go over the high rise or through the Harvey Tunnel. So it seems like I wouldn't be able to do either, right?
Well, the situation is in tunnels, there's always some condensation. And if we get to a hard freeze where we have sustained temperatures below 26 degrees, you will have icy conditions there. You see that a lot in parking lot, open air parking lots as well. That, you know, if you do have some melt and the temperature is dropping, when you get on the ramps of parking garages, they can be a challenge too. You know, it's interesting when you go to like Colorado, Utah, places where you go ski, they have heater elements through their parking garages so that on the ramps, you're not able to get ice conditions there for that very reason.
I'm trapped pretty much.
So you're trapped, yeah. So you're going to be staying here at the WWL Hilton on Poitras Street. But you did say the air mattress that you slept on last night was more comfortable than you've been.
Yeah.
That's Coleman, folks. Always finds the silver lining. Love him. Thank you so much. We'll be right back. 504-260-187. When we come back, we'll visit with Colin Arnold, who is the Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness for the City of New Orleans. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Colin Arnold, Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness for the City of New Orleans. Colin, welcome to the show.
Hey, Sheriff.
So, Colin, as I drove in to the studio this morning, I saw all the barricades deployed. 7 out of 10 vehicles that I actually saw were NOPD vehicles with their lights on. It was a nice sight to see, and very few people on the roadway, which they heeded your advice, which I know as you're sitting in that EOC eating those Oreo cookies like I always did, that was good. That was good news, right?
I am always eternally grateful and would continue to just say, stick to it. The public's doing great. I see a lot of people kind of enjoying this to a certain extent, which I think is absolutely fine. Just be careful outside, even when you're walking around. But, yeah, staying off the roads. We just briefed the mayor. DOTD was on. I mean, they're doing yeoman's work to try and keep these roadways at least minimally open. But we're losing the battle with the snow right now, just quite frankly. We do have the city has identified snow plows and additional salt spreaders that we're going to bring in. And as soon as the snow stops this evening, we are identifying priority routes that we want to start working on just to get the snow out of the way. And then that we'll be able to continue with sand and salt. But at this point, sand and salt on the snow is not going to have really any impact. We're in a position right now where we are where we are with that. We have managed to keep, DOTD has managed to keep one lane open on the Crescent City connection for emergency vehicles, but now our issue is the on and off ramps, as you know, on both sides are pretty steep, and so it's becoming an issue where it is becoming difficult. We do have EMS units and Sprint vehicles located geographically, both East Bank, West Bank, and then even broken down into Lower Coast Algiers, below the Woodland Bridge, which is now closed, and I would say impassable, not just closed, but also just geographically spread out throughout the city, given our, the Industrial Canal and the different areas that we have to get to. They will be able to get to you if you have a medical emergency, but it's definitely becoming more challenging. And all credit to NOPD and our state police partners this morning. They all huddled it and for 4 a.m. and just said, we're going to cut this off before it even becomes an issue. And I think they did a great job of doing that.
Yeah, I saw all the barricades up, multiple locations in the ingress and egress to the interstate, which was encouraging to see that done. Any idea as to accumulation totals in the city as of now?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at, in some areas, 2, almost 3 inches at this point. And we're seeing similar and higher totals around I-10, I-12, and Tangipahoa Parish and on the North Shore. We've been in communication with everyone up there, our counterparts. I talked with my counterpart in Lake Charles this morning. They had actually had a blizzard warning issued, and we may have that today if the winds pick up a little more, because that's a measure of winds over 35 miles an hour and a quarter mile visibility, which I think we have the visibility right now, and much of the city is much reduced. But the winds, fortunately, have not picked up to that level, which is a good thing, because what we're getting from energy right now is a handful of power outages in the city, really what it would look like on a normal day. And so I'm knocking on wood that that's going to continue as well. No issues with Sewage and Water Board noted as far as water pressure or any issues there. So we're holding steady, but it's not over. I mean, we're obviously going to be getting these higher rates of snowfall until probably 6 or 7 p.m. tonight.
Is that what you're hearing, that this is going to extend that late into the evening?
Yes. Looking like snowfall through the early evening. And then our issue will be that the temperatures are not really going to come above freezing for the next day and a half. And so what you see on the ground is going to stay on the ground, essentially. I mean, there may be a little bit of melting, but, if we get sunshine tomorrow, which we may, it'll still be cold, but we may get some melting. One of the questions that came up is, with melting, is it going to be a problem with drainage or flooding or anything? And the fact of the matter is if it rained after this, or we had a 20 to 30 degree temperature swing, which is not uncommon in the city, we're not looking at that. So they're not concerned about any type of overrunning of drainage or anything like that. This is going to melt off probably pretty slowly. What we are going to announce this afternoon is that clearly the schools and city government in New Orleans will be closed tomorrow again, and that we're looking at opening up at noon on Thursday.
So a number of the officials that we've talked to, the governor, Jeff Landry, Carlton Dufresneau, Cynthia Lee Shang, and others have all expressed some concern about tomorrow, because it looks like we're only going to get above freezing for about a four-hour period of time, if that. And that presents a lot of challenges, because we're looking at actual hard freeze temperatures overnight into tomorrow, with that elongated period of time of being in the mid-20s to low-20s, that presents a different type of challenge than what we're seeing today, right?
Yeah, I mean, that increases the amount of time that that pipes will be below freezing. So you're talking about, you know, potential water issues and broken pipes at residences, which can always be a very pervasive problem. And then why we're still encouraging folks to, you know, today and tomorrow to stay off the roads is because we're going to do everything we can to get snow removal going as necessary and then continue to use salt and sand. But I think it's going to be I think driving tomorrow is going to be as much of a challenge or maybe even more than today. And anecdotally, I've seen some of the media coverage, people driving around. I'm from Colorado. I'm from Nebraska. And that's fine and good. But those are also locations that are used to doing snow removal. And we're not one of those locations. So I still caution people, even though you might think you're from somewhere else and that this is kind of ridiculous, a light amount of snow. For us, this is a historic event right now.
Colin, earlier you mentioned snowplows and salt spreaders. Is that some of the equipment that we are receiving through the state EMAC with the state of Arkansas?
No, they're doing that in more north places and west of us right now. I anticipate that moving for us. We were able to identify a vendor out of Indiana that has resources moving into the area, and we anticipate they actually just showed up to the EOC about 20 minutes ago, and we're coordinating with our public safety and DOTD to identify routes that as soon as it stops snowing that we can start moving on.
Yeah, and I don't know that many folks with the listening audience caught what you were saying relative to pre-positioning assets such as EMS in certain areas where they only have to cross these overpasses, bridges, and otherwise just once, right? Once they retrieve an individual that has to go to the hospital instead of there and back, which increase risks.
Right, and then what we can do is we can, because we have a very good network, hospital network through this, what we call the ESF-8 portal, which is run by the state of Louisiana, the Louisiana Department of Health, we're able to kind of marry an EMS unit with a hospital. Mm-hmm. So it may not even be necessary for those West Bank units to even have to come over here. They can go to either Ochsner Jeff, West Jeff or West Jeff Hospital and have the needs addressed there instead of having to actually try and cross over the river to come to UMC. Same thing out in New Orleans East. We have capabilities at New Orleans East Hospital. And then also, obviously, in the city proper, we have multiple hospitals, uptown, mid-city, even out into to East Jeff if necessary. So, you know, what they try and do is they try and prioritize an ambulance with an actual location to bring someone.
And Colin, I know that you've experienced this and you've seen it, you know, with the elderly population, when they're experiencing a change like this weather event, it's a stressor. And you have these health events more often than not, right?
Yeah, definitely. We didn't see a large uptick last night, but then we didn't have the snow. So we are monitoring that today. We have prioritized with Entergy a lot of our nursing homes and independent living facilities just in case there are power issues. And I have to say, you know, all credit to Sewage and Water Board as well. We had one of our homeless shelters having a serious plumbing issue on their side of the meter, and Sewage and Water Board has been over there actually trying to fix it for them just because we realize that it's an additional 50 to 60 beds that we can use to help people that are either in one of our warming centers right now or out and not able to, you know, they have no place to go. So, I mean, one thing about what's going on is you do see everyone kind of chipping in for the greater good to make sure that we can try and get things done quickly and as safely as possible to get people, you know, where they want to be. I would also announce that we've come to capacity at Rosenwald Rec Center as a warming center, so we are opening Treme Center right now as an additional warming center that's at 900 North Villery in Armstrong Park, and so that's open to the public if you need to come in and warm up, and then we also have other facilities on standby in case we need to open more. And then we're also communicating with the state's transition shelter that they started last week.
And, you know, for the benefit of the listening audience, a lot of people don't realize folks still have floor furnaces. They live in a structure that was built in the early 1900s without any insulation, and those systems are not designed to keep a reasonable temperature within that structure, right?
Yeah. It's a problem, you know, and same with the piping. Most of it runs above ground and is exposed to the elements. And so, you know, running the water when appropriate, which now, you know, a slight trickle out of one of your faucets in the house, doesn't have to be all of them, is appropriate because we're at 30 degrees right now here downtown. So most of the city is still under the freezing temperature, 32. And so that is appropriate. Just remember that everyone in the city is doing that at some point, and so it does create stress on the water system just as far as keeping pressure. And, you know, so any opportunity to conserve water as far as, you know, maybe not doing laundry, running showers and the like all in the morning time helps out as far as trying to maybe stretch that out throughout the day.
Colin, this is going to sound like a crazy question, but I was always curious because I worked really hard to get our radio system up and running for the entire metro area for a number of years. But I was always curious how it would function in event of a snow event. What has y'all's experience been thus far?
Yeah, no issues. The Elwyn system, the Louisiana Wireless Information Network, it's the best state-run interoperable communications network in the country, hands down. There's no state that has been able to build what you and the others that responded to Hurricane Katrina built after that storm. And we've been through hurricanes where multiple tower sites in the state have gone down. If you remember the floods in 2016 in the Baton Rouge area, they lost several towers. Every disaster, you know, knock on wood, that we have been through, that system has performed flawlessly with very minimal delay or very minimal outage. And we've got over 12 million daily communications on that and over 112,000 daily users. It's almost every public safety agency in Louisiana is on that network now.
Yeah, you know, you hear
that. That actually comes up, too, because we're developing and have developed all our communications plans for Super Bowl, and you know, we have absolute complete state interoperability with every local, state, and federal agency that comes down here. We'll all be able to talk on the same radios without any delay, without any type of patching. None of that is necessary because we can give the feds our interoperable channels. They can program them in their radios, and then all of us local and state officials are on the same network anyway. So all we have to direct them to is go to, you know, this channel, and everyone can communicate on that. And I've used it as far away as Little Rock, Arkansas, which is far beyond the design capacity that it has. So I've talked to my office from Little Rock on the radio.
Yeah, that's great news.
Yes.
Interesting thing, too, obviously. Not that y'all weren't already under a lot of pressure from a time perspective, right? The window has got even narrower.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, essentially we're losing almost a week of planning on this, but most everything has been completed. We obviously have things in the French Quarter and around Frenchman Street and Jackson Square that we want to solidify, and we're working on that. And we're even continuing to work on that while this is going on. You know, we can do two things at once, but we have, to your point, we've had the NFL on many of our calls this week just to keep them informed because they are loading into the Superdome right now and bringing a lot of trucks in and things. And so far, that has not been an issue. They've been able to get in. I think today and tomorrow will be a little bit of a problem, but they're okay with that. They're ahead of schedule. And then also, what was I going to – the National – the NADA, National Auto Dealers Association, huge convention, 20,000 people, is loading into the convention center as we speak, and they're still planning on going on schedule, which is terrific.
You know, when do they start?
Convention. Thursday. So I think it's going to work out perfectly. They allowed them to load in a little early because they knew this weather was coming. They're actually having a dinner tonight that is still going to go on. I think it's more of a dinner for the organizers. But, you know, we've worked with New Orleans and company and really tried. This has been a convention that's been coming here since the 70s.
Yeah.
And it's a huge national, international convention. So, you know, but it's going to go on as scheduled, which is great.
What are you hearing? Have you been in communications with Louis Armstrong International Airport as to whether or not they are going to be able to de-ice their runways? And obviously, each individual carrier is responsible for de-icing their planes.
Yeah, so the airlines usually they make the call on this, and the airport is there to support them in whatever way that they can. But flights were canceled today. I think that they'll be able to start recovering tomorrow at some point. And I know that many of the airlines brought in extra de-icing fluid, and MSY obviously has an entire area that they set aside there as their responsibility as a de-icing pad for airplanes. So fortunately, this doesn't seem to be much of an ice event. And hopefully, you know, the snow will clear and we'll be able to resume flights hopefully tomorrow.
Yeah, we got lucky, right, relative to the freezing rain and the mix. The mix didn't last very long. As I was watching it this morning, I got up about 5:30 and was kind of monitoring what was going on outside. It really moved from a mix to snow in a relatively quick fashion.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And the ice is what gets you, particularly in the residential neighborhoods with power. It doesn't affect the substations as much, but it gets to the residential lines clacking together with the ice and wind. And then you have the situation where that's very time consuming for the utilities to go to each, you know, street by street and repair these lines, rather than having the issue at a substation where they can do a certain amount of switching and a corrective measure that might fix thousands of homes rather than just one at a time. So far we've been very fortunate with that, and it's been, you know, more of a snow event than an ice event.
Final thoughts?
We're still doing our alerts. Text NOLA READY, one word, to 77295. And as soon as we find out about, you know, things like the causeway closing or opening or any types of information or updates, particularly with traffic and with recommended measures from Sewage and Water Board and the like, we put those out immediately. And I think that, you know, the media is all subscribed to it too. So we get, you know, we get the bang for the buck there. But I'd like to get it right to our residents as well.
Well, stay the course. We really appreciate you joining us today. You know, those EOC cookies are killer. So every event, I buried so many damn cookies, it was ridiculous.
They always buy the most snacks, and you're like, come on, man.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We know you're busy. We really appreciate
it. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's Colin Arnold, Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness for the City of New Orleans. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on Eric One Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line with our continuing coverage of the winter storm. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks, with our continuing coverage of the winter storm. As I'm looking out of our window on the 8th floor here, facing the river, I cannot see the bridge any longer. That's how hard it's snowing. And that's happened in about the last 40 minutes. That has just faded away. Can't see that far. Can't see the interstate either. The World Trade Center, Four Seasons Hotel, that is almost fading away as well. And we're only about 2.5 blocks from that structure and almost can't see that any longer either. It's actually snowing as hard as it's probably snowed since I've been here this morning at the present time. It is really coming down hard here. So I suspect that our accumulation totals will be increasing in a relatively quick fashion. And here we are at noon, and they're projecting that this is going to continue to 6, maybe 7 o'clock this evening and then stop. I can confirm, I just received pictures from the Bridgeside Marina in Grand Isle. Snow in Grand Isle. I'm looking at camps at the opposite end of the island as well. Snow there. So it has snowed in Grand Isle for sure. And just watching some of the videos, Des Almonds, a lot of snow out in Des Almonds as well. They just had a strong flurry move through that region. A lot of accumulations there, too. So we're seeing it all through southeast Louisiana going all the way down to our folks and our friends down in Grand Isle. And thank you so much for sending us these pictures for sure. All right. When we come back, we will visit with Craig Jackamon from Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. Stay with us.